My dear brothers and elders, Alhamdulillah, all praises to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah, and all praise and all blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His Nabi Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa ba'd, this is inshallah the first in a series of lectures on Tarbiyah that we will do for the next few Jumu'ahs. And these have to do with the awsaf, with the qualities of the Muslims that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described in His book in various places. And so therefore the title of this khutbah and the khutab coming for the next few Jumu'ahs will be, Who is a Muslim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in Surah Al-Luqman, which we heard 2 days ago in Taraweeh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the qualities, He mentioned the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. And Luqman alayhi salam, we say alayhi salam, Allah alam whether he was a Nabi or not, but we say alayhi salam to send salam on him because he's mentioned in the Quran and the whole surah is mentioned after his name. So we need not get involved in arguments about whether he is a Nabi or not a Nabi. But alhamdulillah, he was important enough for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention him in the Quran and for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to mention, name a whole surah after him. And he was known for his hikmah, for his wisdom. Luqman al-Hakim. And in the Arab, in the Arabia of the day of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sayings of Luqman alayhi salam were very famous, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore mentioned some of them in His book in Surah Al-Luqman in terms of the advice that He gave to His son. And inshallah we will take some of those ayat and we'll see what therefore needs to be applied in our lives in this Jumu'ah, and then we will continue inshallah, and then some other things from some other surah of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد آتينا لقمان الحكمة أن اشكر لله ومن يشكر فإنما يشكر لنفسه ومن كفر فإن الله غني حميد وإذ قال لقمان لابنه وهو يعظه يا بني لا تشرك بالله إن الشرك لظلم عظيم ووصينا الإنسان بوالديه حملته أمه وهنا على وهن وفصاله في عامين أن اشكر لي ولوالديك أن اشكر لي ولوالديك إلي المصير وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إلي ثم إلي مرجعكم فأنبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير يا بني أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف ونهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور ولا تسعر خدك للناس ولا تمشي في الأرض مرحا إن الله لا يحب كل مختال فخور وقصد في مشيك واغضض من صوتك إن أنكر الأصوات لصوت الحمير. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentioned the qualities, the advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son. I recited for you all the ayats relating to that. We will take some of them in this Jumu'ah, inshallah. The first one, And these are the ayat in Surah Al-Luqman from ayat 12 onwards. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and indeed we bestowed upon Luqman al-hikmah, which is wisdom and understanding, fiqh fi din, understanding of the religion, saying, give thanks to Allah, anishkur lillah. And whosoever give thanks, he gives thanks for the good of his own self. And whosoever is unthankful and ungrateful, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghaniyun hamid. He is rich and free from all wants, and he is hamid, he is worthy of all praise. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that the first advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son is to be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first advice is to be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything begins with thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the basis of tawheed. It is the basis of all goodness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to increase the blessings for the one who is thankful to him, and he promised his azab for the one who is ungrateful to him. Thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that the person is always conscious of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of his accountability to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us in every rak'ah of every salah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminded us in Surah Al-Fatiha, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is beneficent and merciful. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. All praise and all thanks is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the rabbul alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The most merciful and the most beneficent. Ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. I'm not doing a tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha. That is a subject in itself. I'm just telling you the meanings. Maliki yawmiddin. And the owner and the Malik and the King of the Day of Judgment. In the tafsir of the ayat of the Quran, the best way is to use the ayat of the Quran to explain other ayat of the Quran. And alhamdulillah, this is what we are doing here. We take the ayah of against shirk, and we see how this ayah is explained in the very first surah of the Quran. The surah about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that there is no salah for the one who does not recite Surah Al-Fatiha. There is a difference of opinion among the A'imma whether the Surah Al-Fatiha should be recited by the follower, by the muqtadi, in the raka'at where the imam is reciting. And the opinion of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is that if the imam is reciting loudly, the person behind him need not recite, because the recitation of the imam is sufficient for the person behind him. Alhamdulillah, this is a good opinion and we can follow this. The opinion of Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmah is that Imam Shafi'i said that you have to recite the Surah Al-Fatiha whether or not you hear the Imam. And this is based on the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and alhamdulillah, this is also a good opinion. And then we have the opinion of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi, who brought together these two opinions. And Imam Malik said, in the raka'at where the salah is jahriya, where the imam is reciting aloud, it is not required for the muqtadi, the one who is following, to recite the Surah Al-Fatiha. But in the rakat where the imam is not reciting loudly, where he is reciting silently, it is necessary for the person following also to read the Surah Fatiha on his own. And inshallah, this is a good opinion. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to follow the correct opinion of the Aimma. Because the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very clear, where he said, La salata illa bi fatiha dil kitab. He said, there is no salah for the one who has not recited the fatiha of the kitab. So therefore, the one who does not recite the fatiha, there is no salah for him. Number two, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha out of the seven ayat. Once again, there is a difference of opinion whether Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim should be recited aloud or whether it should be recited silently. But there is no difference of opinion whether it should be recited at all. Nobody has said that it is not necessary to recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha, and the one who does not recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he has not recited Surah Al-Fatiha. Whether you recite it loudly or whether you recite it silently is your choice. Alhamdulillah, both are equally correct, and there is no problem with reciting it loudly as the Shawafi do, or reciting it silently as the Hanabila and as the Hanaf do. Absolutely no problem. We can do either of these. But if you do not recite Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, then the Salah is invalid. Now you might say, well, I have not been reciting Surah Al-Fatiha at all until now. Just now I learned this, and I have not been saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Just now I learned this. What happens to all my salawat before this time? Insha'Allah, all your salawat before this time are alhamdulillah good, because what you did not do it deliberately to anger Allah. You did it without knowledge. What you do without knowledge, you are not accountable for. All your salawat, insha'Allah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept, and they are all acceptable. Alhamdulillah, it's all good. But from now onwards, please keep this in mind. Do recite Surah Al-Fatiha when the Imam is reciting silently, and do say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim before you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, because this is the first ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha. And that is as far as the first advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, where he said the basis and the beginning of everything is the shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the second advice, and Luqman alayhi salam, he said to his son, and remember when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and remember when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, "Oh my son, do not join in worship others with Allah. Do not join anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in his worship or in asking for help, or in his asma wa sifat. No shirk fi uluhiyah, no shirk fi rububiyah, no shirk fi asma wa sifat." Those of you who came to the lectures on Aqidah, you know what all these terms mean. And those of you who did not come to these lectures, inshallah, next time when we have them, we will invite you. Please come and learn. It is part of the faraid of your deen that you should know the basics of your deen, and if you do not make effort to learn that, then you are culpable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please understand very clearly. I'm not saying learn from me. You can go and learn anywhere you like, but learn them. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, and remember when Luqman said to his son, when he was advising him, "Oh my son, do not join others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, joining others with Allah is the greatest zulm. Inna shirka la zulmun azim." It is a great zulm. It's a great wrong. It's a great oppression, because you are trying to oppress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, we cannot oppress Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but by joining with Allah, we are trying to do that. And therefore, it's a great zulm. My brothers and sisters, please understand. Again, we go back to the Surah Al-Fatiha for the tafsir of these ayat. And which is the ayah of Surah Al-Fatiha? Which are the ayat which are the tafsir of this, of no shirk? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. O Allah, we worship only you, and we ask for help only from you. Please ask yourself, you stand on this musalla 5 times a day, and in all the rakat of the salah that you do, the fard salah, the sunnah salah, the nawafil, and so on and so on, what are you saying? Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, I worship only you, and I ask help only from you. And after that, if you go and worship somebody else, and you join someone with worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you ask for the help of Allah, help from someone other than Allah, then what are you doing? You are standing on the musalla in a state of salah in wudu, you are lying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Please understand very clearly. The issue of shirk is not a small issue. So what are the ayat, the tafsir of this, of Surah Al-Luqman, with regard to inna shirka la zulmun azim? Which are the ayat which has the tafsir of this ayah? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. What is sirat al-mustaqim? Sirat al-mustaqim is the sirat of tawheed. Yes? صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Further explanation of what is صراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. The path of those on whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made his in'am. The path of the Anbiya, wa Siddiqeen, wa Shuhada, wa Salihin. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Anam Allahu alayhim min al
من الذين من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين.
Allah's inam went on the Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. Hasuna ulaika rafiqa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are the best companions and friends for you. My brothers and sisters, I remind you that the core of Tawheed al-Uluhiyya and the core of Tawheed al-Rububiyya is this ayah, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Which is what Luqman alayhi salam is advising his son, Inna shirka la dhulmun azim. He said, shirk is the worst of the zulm. We worship only Allah and we ask for help only from Allah. This is what distinguishes a Muslim from a mushrik. Please understand the basic foundational differentiation between a Muslim and a mushrik, between a Muslim and a polytheist is Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in. This is the basic difference. A Muslim is the one who worships only Allah and ask help only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a mushrik is one who joins partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in his worship or in asking for help. It does not matter who the partner is. The Christians join Isa alayhi salam as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship and in asking for helps. Many Muslims who do not have knowledge, they join Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they join Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi as a partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or they join Shaykh Muinuddin Chishti rahmatullah alayhi. Or Bakhtiar Kaki. Or Farid Shakar Ganj. Or Nizamuddin Mahbub Ilahi and so on and so forth. As partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either in worshipping or in asking for help. This is shirk. There is no difference between this and worshipping Ganesha in a temple. I stand here before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment before his throne and I bear witness that I have informed you. And you will bear witness that I informed you. After this, it is your choice. Do what you want. But on the day of judgment, I will be there and you will be there and your and my Rabb will be there and I will bear witness that I informed you as clearly as I could without worrying about popularity or about sounding nice or about this or that. I advised you and I informed you and I warned you because I fear Allah more than I fear you. And I advise you to fear Allah more than you fear anybody else. Have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not join anyone as partners with Allah. Ask yourself, do you want to be resurrected with Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu? Do you want to be a companion of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu on the day of judgment? Yes or no? Yes, insha'Allah. Then do what Ali did. Do what Ali told you to do radiallahu anhu. Don't do what other people tell you to do with Ali radiallahu anhu. Find me one place in the world where Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu said, worship me instead of Allah. Say, Ya Ali Madad instead of say, Ya Allah Madad. Find me one place. And I will take off my turban and throw it at your feet. Find one place where Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, a great muwahid, a great muhaddis, one of the greatest ulama of this ummah. Find me one place where Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi said, worship me and ask me for madad and say, Ya Ghaus Madad, instead of worshipping Allah. Subhanallah, the very fact that today people say both Ya Ali and Ya Ghaus, and neither Ali nor Ghaus come out of their qubur and chop off their heads, which they would have done if they had the quwwat. This itself shows that there is no one who has any quwwat and taqat except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We revere Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. May my life and my lives of my parents be sacrificed 1,000 times for every hair on the hand of Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. But I do not worship Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. I ask help from the one who Ali asked help from. I do not ask help from Ali. I do not ask help from Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani. I do not ask help from Muinuddin Chishti. I do not ask help from anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is what I advise you. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in his book when he said, Inna shirka la zulmun azim. My dear brothers and sisters, I remind myself anew about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about shirk. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nisa,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ افْتَرَى إِثْمًا عَظِيمًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily and truly and surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive that partners should be set up with him. But he forgives that which is anything else to whom he pleases. But he forgives except that. Except shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive everything inshallah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from shirk and to forgive all our sins. And whoever sets up partners with Allah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has indeed invented a tremendous sin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again said in the same surah, Surah An-Nisa,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَمَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, verily, Allah does not forgive setting up partners with him, but he forgives whom he pleases sins other than that, and whosoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, he has indeed strayed very far away. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Allah said,
لَقَدْ كَفَرَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحُ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ يَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارُ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, surely they have committed kufr, they have disbelieved, who say Allah is the Messiah, who say that Allah is Masih, who say that Jesus is God. The people who are saying this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, they are committing kufr, they have become kafir. And Allah says, but Isa alayhi salam, the Masih, said, what did he say? What did Jesus himself say? Alayhi salam. He said, oh children of Israel, worship Allah, my Rabb and your Rabb. Verily, whosoever sets up partners in worship with Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden Jannah for him, and the fire will be his abode, and for the zalimun, there are no helpers. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you and me. Do think about this. If joining a Nabi with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shirk, then how can joining someone who is less than a Nabi be anything other than shirk? Even the people who say, Ya Ali, Madad, do not say Ali was a Nabi. They say Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not even talking about those who say that the Wahi came to Ali radiallahu anhu by mistake. Actually, it should have come, that the Wahi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by mistake. Actually, it was meant for Ali radiallahu anhu. It accidentally, by mistake, Jibreel went to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, Ajib, what has happened to our brains? Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a brain as manure to grow hair? Do you think your head is a pot full of manure in which hair grows? Or is that manure supposed to be used? When you say that the Wahi came by mistake to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam instead of to Ali radiallahu anhu, you are accusing Allah of making a mistake. You are accusing Jibreel of making a mistake. Where does this end? Let whoever wants to propagate this falsehood, let them do it. But Allah gave us brains. Please use your intelligence. Use your intelligence. Nobody tells you that whatever someone tells you without dalail that you should accept. Alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's never anything you will hear in this masjid without a dalil from the Quran and Sunnah. But alhamdulillah, if somebody tells you these things, tell him you are saying, you are accusing Allah of making a mistake, that the Wahi came by mistake to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. People curse Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu. Who Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, the famous incident of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, during his khilafah, when he was khalifa, he ascended the member. What is the meaning of Ali was khalifa? What does it mean? Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is dead. Umar ibn al-Khattab is dead. Uthman ibn Affan is dead. Yes? Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu ascended the member and he said, "O people, who is the bravest of men among you? In your opinion, who is the bravest of men?" People said, "Why do you ask this? Ya Abi Talib, why do you ask this? Because you are the bravest of men. We know this." And Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was a very, very brave warrior. People, I mean, this is his bravery is legendary. They said, "You are the bravest of men." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu started weeping. He said, "I am not the bravest of men." He said, "The bravest of men was Abu Bakr, because he was alone in the ghar with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it was about him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. وَإِذْ قَالَ لِسَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا." When he said to his sahib, the only one the word sahaba we use for all the sahaba, inshallah, that is correct, but the only one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used, the word as sahib of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was for Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And people curse him, inna lillahi wa inna rajun. One day there was one of our musallis in my masjid in the US, and he came and he got very angry with our sheikh. And he cursed him and he said, "May you be resurrected with Abu Bakr and Umar." And the sheikh said, "Ameen, ameen." He said, say it again. "Ameen, ya Rab, ameen." He said, "Because Ali radiallahu anhu will be resurrected with Umar and Abu Bakr. And those who curse Umar and Abu Bakr will be resurrected with the munafiqeen who used to do that. Not with Abu Bakr and Umar and Ali and Uthman and Talha and Zubair and Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas and Abdurrahman ibn Auf and Abu Darda and Abu Dahda and other Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain." Please, use your intelligence, my brothers and sisters. Do not fall into the traps of people who invent theology for their own benefit, because they want to create a priesthood in a religion in which there are no priests. It is the individual responsibility of the Muslim to learn about the deen. It is the individual responsibility of the Muslim to learn about the deen. Today we have distorted this deen. We have taken away the responsibility. We have handed it over to whoever we call alim. Who is an alim? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is alim. No one other than Allah is alim. For everyone else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wama utituhu min ilm illa khalila." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that "We have given you from our knowledge very little, except a little." And it's our aqeedah that the knowledge of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more than the knowledge of all of humanity, from Adam alayhi salam to the last person who was created, including all the anbiya. If that is only a little, what about the knowledge of somebody who graduates from a Darul Uloom after 6 years, 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is? Why can we even compare it? Is it even worth talking about? But what have the Muslims done? They don't want to. They want to be lazy. They do not want to make the effort to learn deen. So what do? They hand this over to somebody called an alim, and then we tell the alim, "You come and lead salah. When I die, you come and do my janaza. When something else happens, you come and do this, and you come and do that." Handing over religious responsibilities to certain individuals who are designated for that purpose is Hindu and Christian theology. It is not Islam. Please understand. It is Hindu and Christian theology. It is not Islam. In Islam, it is the responsibility of every man to be able to properly lead salah, to be able to properly give the khutbah for Jummah, to be able to properly conduct the janazah, including all the ahkam al-janaiz. Individual responsibility. It is a tragedy, and I am saying this to all of you, it's a tragedy. Many of you have sons who do not know how to perform janaza. When you die, a stranger, a ghassal, will come from the makta and he will do your ghusl, because your son doesn't have a clue. And some strange maulana of some strange masjid will do your salatul janaza, and the last dua for your maghfirat will be done for you by a stranger. Why? Because you were too lazy to teach your sons how to do these things. I have offered, and Allah is witness, and all of these are witness, I have offered many, many times, send them here, you come here, I will teach you how to do it, so that you sons, that you can perform the salatul janaza for your fathers when they die, and you fathers, that you can have your sons do that last duty and the last service that they can do for you. If you don't send, and if you don't teach them elsewhere, then you are responsible for what will happen on the day about which there is no doubt, the day when you and I die. Alhamdulillah, I have no sons. But I have those who are better than sons. Because I know that when I die, they will do what needs to be done. And they have learned what needs to be done. I can die in peace. And I know that they will make dua for me when I die. I don't know how many of you can say that confidently about your own awlads. Please, make some effort. This deen is not a joke. We spend more time and more energy and we are more happy when the son becomes, he becomes, something happens in school or whatever else. And we spend more energy and we feel more happy when he hits a century in cricket. But ask the same son, who is in his 20s, ask him to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Ask him to read 2 rakats of Salah. Ask him how many surahs of the Quran he knows. My brothers and sisters, nobody in the world becomes a hafiz on his own, believe me. No child who became a hafiz, we say Imam Bukhari became hafiz at the age of 7 and so on and so forth. They did not become huffaz on their own. No 5-year-old kid and no 7-year-old kid wants to sit and read the Quran. It is the effort of the parents. It is the effort of the parents. And that is why the hadith on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that on the day of judgment, the person who is connected with the Quran, the sahibul Quran, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put the word hafiz Quran in the mouth of his Nabi, because he said sahib Quran. Who is the hafiz Quran? Who also inshallah is the one who does not know the entire Quran, but who is connected with the Quran with his heart, and who reads the Quran regularly on a daily basis, and who loves the Quran inshallah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call that person forward. He will give him the shafa, he will give him the intercession for 70 of whoever he wishes. And he will tell him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to the person, recite the Quran as you used to recite it in the world. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, for every word he recites, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase him 1 daraja in Jannah. अरे औलाद के लिए कुछ तो ख्वाहिश करो यार. कब तक क्रिकेट खिलाते खिलाते मार डालोगे? When you are in your grave, you'll be playing cricket with your headstone as wickets. Instead of pray, instead of making dua for your maghfirat. Because that is what you taught him. You connected him with cricket, not with Allah. You connected him with football, with IPL, not with Allah. Subhanallah, please, have mercy on yourselves. Have mercy on your children. They have a right on you and you have a right on them. And we look at all of those. Not today, in the course of our Jumas, inshallah. The third advice that Luqman alayhi salam gave to his son is the beautiful advice which connects huququllah with huququl ibad. It is the advice which is the foundation of all huququl ibad, the rights of the people. And the rights of the people begin with the rights of the parents. Begins with the rights of the parents. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this in this ayah number 14, and we have enjoined on man, and man means man and woman. In this case, it's a gender undifferentiated term. And we have enjoined on man to be dutiful and good to his parents. His mother bore him in weakness and hardship, upon weakness and hardship. Wahanin ala wahan. And his weaning is in 2 years. Give thanks to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to your parents. And unto me is the final destination. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I took my mother for Hajj and I carried her on my back for all the manasik of Hajj. I carried my mother physically on my back for the entire Hajj. The tawaf around the Kaaba, the sa'i, the going from Makkah to Mina, from Mina to Arafat, back to Muzdalifah, back to Mina, back to Makkah. I carried her on my back for the entire Hajj. Have I repaid her and have I fulfilled my duty as a son? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this entire thing which you did for your mother, did not even repay the pain of one birth pang that she felt when you were born. He said that is not even compensation for one time the pain that she felt when she was giving birth to you. A man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complained and said, Ya Rasulullah, my father comes home and he puts his hand in the pocket of my thob and he finds money there, he takes it and he spends it. And this causes embarrassment to me because I go to the market and I put my hand in my pocket and there is no money. So please advise my father not to take money from me without permission. Does this sound reasonable to you or not? What do you think? Yes or no? You're all used to my trick questions. Anytime I ask you this, whatever you say is the wrong answer, right? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if your father takes you, not your money, he said, if your father takes you to the market and sells you as a slave, that is his right. He said, that is his right. He called the father later on and advised him and told him in terms of akhlaq, don't just take money because it causes embarrassment to the man, even though it is your right. He didn't say don't take it. He said, let him know. Let him know because you don't want him to go to the market and find he has no money. Let him know. Not ask permission. Let him know. It is the right of the father to take whatever you have from you, including selling you in the market as a slave. That is the right of the father. We are not saying the father should exercise this right, but that is his right. My brothers and sisters, the rights of the children on the parents and the rights of the parents on the children. Remember, these are two-way street, and we'll talk about the parents as well. These rights are divinely granted. These are divinely ordained rights, and nobody can take them away. It is the right of the parents on the children. It is the right of the parents on the children that the children should obey them and serve them. And it is the right of the children on the parents that the parents should do tarbiyah of the children to make them good Muslims. Unfortunately today, both parties default. Parents do not introduce Allah to their children. Parents do not teach them the book of Allah. Subhanallah, see, I sent out a video the other day, I don't know how many of you see it, on our group. There is this beautiful video of which leads up to the Khirat competition in Egypt, of little children who come from all over the world to Egypt to recite the Quran. And there's little stories of each of them. And there's a beautiful clip there of a man from Sierra Leone, father and son. They are walking on the beach early morning. Both of them are barefoot. The father has his hand on the shoulder of the son. Little boy, he's 9 years old or something. The father has his hand on the shoulder of the son. The son is reciting the Quran. Father is hafiz. Son is hafiz. And the father is listening to his daur, and they are walking on the beach in the sea. The surf is playing on their feet. What do you think that son will be doing when that father is old? What do you think that son will do when the father is old? What do your children do when you are old? What do you do with your parents when they are old? It is the right of the children that you should be their muallim for the Quran, not some mauli sahab from your masjid. You know what happens when you call the mauli sahab from the masjid to teach your child the Quran? Two things. Number one, you are admitting that you are yourself ignorant. And number two, you are giving away the waqar of being the ustad and being the muallim of your own son. Then how do you expect him to respect you? But if you were his teacher of the Quran, till the day he dies, he will remember that he learned the Quran because of you. Alhamdulillah, five of us, my mother taught all of us the Quran. My mother is my muallim of the Quran. We never had any mauli sahabs. Please, it is your duty, it is your children's right on you that you should teach them the book of Allah, that you should introduce Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to them, that you should teach them the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, both by speaking as well as by demonstrating the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is their right that we teach them Islamic akhlaq. And it is their right that you teach them how to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Teach them the power of dua. Teach them to raise their hands and ask Allah, and subhanallah, wallahi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disappoint. If you ask, Allah will give. If you ask, Allah will change the qadar of people if He wants. Teach them how to do that. Because everything else you give them, the money, the property, the cars, the clothing or whatever, is thing which will be destroyed and which will be left behind. But what will go with them is these things. And it is their right that they should be taught this by you. But unfortunately, you know what is the punishment of not doing that? The punishment of not teaching your children about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that in your old age, your own life in this world is converted to a hell. Because in your old age, your children do not respect you. In your old age, your children are not by your side to serve you. In your old age, strangers and servants have to give you water and give you food because your children are too busy somewhere else. That is the punishment for you in this dunya because you did not do the tarbiyah of your children. And do remember, that does not absolve you from answering to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment about why you did not do tarbiyah. The continuation of that punishment is that the one thing which can do good for you when you are in your grave, the ibadat, the dua of your children, you are mahroom because you never taught them how to do ibadah. You never taught them what dua to do. So what do your children do? Once again, when you are dead, they will call some Mauli sahab and he will come in your house and he will recite Suratul Mulk for 40 days and he will do khatam of Quran. Alhamdulillah, good for him. He has now recited Quran and that is in his amal nama. Nothing has gone to you and nothing has gone to anybody else. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. We have taken Hindu theology and Christian theology and imported it into Islam to justify our laziness. To justify our laziness. My brothers and sisters, I advise you, and I advise myself, make tawbah now. Make tawbah from shirk. Make tawbah from all aqaid of shirk. Make tawbah from not doing the tarbiyah of your children. Start now. Start now. Go and learn and teach them. Because a day will come. May Allah protect us from that day. If you don't do this, a day will come when you will regret it. And that is not a nice place to be. We must all suffer from two things in this life. The pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin. Wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Play sunnah and then we'll do salah inshallah. Yeah, please come.